Y'all,
God bless you. It's good to be together in His name, by His power, for His purpose. Amen. That's good. This morning, take your sermon outline out of your bulletin. You'll notice on the front page of your sermon outline, there's a Bible exercise for you. We're learning how to navigate through Scripture and how to use our Bibles more and more. So use this tool. Take it home. Don't do it during the sermon. and learn. Just learn what it's like to know your Bible. Okay? So the book of Malachi, Old Testament or New? Old Testament, good. The book of Jude, New Testament, yeah. Okay, the book of Hezekiah, the book of Hesitations, where's that at? Sometimes it's right in here, isn't it? That's right. So learn your Bible. I'll keep putting these kinds of exercises in your sermon outline so that you can follow along and do some work. Next week, I think I'm going to ask you to write down the name of all the books of the Old Testament. Just write them down. Open book. Okay? And learn how to write each book correctly. I remember doing this my freshman year in Bible college, and I didn't do so well. I didn't know how to write Galatians, for example, correctly. I missed an O. I put an O in place of an A, and it makes you aware. And then, so learn how to write the names correctly. Those kind of things we'll be working on as we learn how to use our Bibles more and more. If you're using your Bible, that's great. If you have a, if you're using your YouVersion or other instrument, please do. So during the past few weeks, we've learned that hearing God accurately begins with trusting God that He has communicated accurately His mind and His heart to us. First of all, in general ways, He's communicated to us in general ways, such as through creation, general grace. General grace is a concept, not an army guy. And through our conscience, as we talked about in the last couple of weeks. He also communicates Himself accurately to us in specific ways through His written word. Today, let's learn how to prepare ourselves to hear God accurately when you approach Him in prayer. Hearing God accurately can be confusing sometimes. It's like the pastor who was going to speak in another city he'd never been in before, and he arrived at the airport, got to his hotel, and he decided he was going to walk to the church to speak. And so he started walking, and pretty soon he found himself lost. That was kind of funny. Found himself lost. He ran across some boys who were out in the street playing and said, boys, can you direct me to this church I'm going to? Sure, they said, you go down this block one, turn left, go down two blocks, turn right, you're right there. Great. Well, I'm speaking at a church. Oh, really? What are you speaking about? How you can get to heaven. Would you like to guys go with me? No, you don't even know where you're going. We need to know where we're going when we're learning how to communicate accurately with God and to hear Him accurately. When I say we're learning to hear God's voice, I don't mean God's literal voice, although I've heard people who have heard God's voice. In fact, I've heard things in my own history going, whoa, Lord, I heard words. That doesn't happen very often, but it was like, whoa, that was pretty cool. We know that God is speaking in visions and dreams, especially in the Muslim world. where scriptures are highly forbidden, I will kill you if you read a Bible type of thing. And God is revealing himself to them through visions and dreams. How awesome is that? So God speaks to us, and he speaks to us very accurately. Let's learn how to listen accurately. You might believe that you've made too many mistakes for God to want to talk with you. If so, hear these words by Bill Thrasher in his book, Living the Life God Has Planned. He says, God will work with us where we are, and he can even weave the failures of a person with a repentant heart into something beautiful. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. Remember that song? God will take you where you are. Don't worry that you've got too much dirt behind your fingernails for God to want to listen to you. Let's make a plan to prepare ourselves and hear God accurately. Number one, choose a quiet place to go, because distractions are many. Choose a quiet place. It might be the hardest part of hearing God accurately is choosing a quiet place to be. You may need to be creative. A room, a corner in the house. You might go out to the car. Wherever you can get alone for at least 15 minutes. To be alone with God in a quiet place. Let me ask you this. How many of you like quiet? You like quiet. How many of you in the quietness find your brain going 1,000 miles an hour? Yeah. Okay? Because, yeah, it's craziness. We get to thinking about stuff. But we need to learn how to quiet our souls and our spirits, our minds, and to be quiet. So let's practice. I'm going to give you 1 minute, and let's be quiet, okay? You might close your eyes, but be quiet. Let's begin. How long did that seem like to you? Did it seem like longer than a minute? Boy, that was a long time. When we live in a world of nanoseconds, 1 minute seems like forever sometimes. And getting into a quiet place where you can be quiet on the outside and then become quiet on the inside, quieting your soul and your spirit. That's hard work on the front end of learning how to listen to God's voice. We have to be quiet. My minister, Bill Miller, I don't know if any of you knew him. He was the minister at Elgin Christian Church from 1970. He was 21, and he left 14 years later. He was my minister as I was attending Elgin Christian, and we all went to, well, a number of us went to a Dick Eastman Change the World School of Prayer weekend. I don't know if any of you heard of Dick Eastman, The Hour That Changes the World. He teaches about having an hour of prayer. The hour broken up into 12 5-minute segments where you're praying for various things. Different things. So after that weekend, we came home and each of us was challenged to pray for an hour a day. And for me, being brand new to the Lord, that was pretty tough work, but I did it. And for about 6 months, I prayed every evening after work. I'd come home, eat my can of beans because I was single, and I would go kneel before my bed and pray for an hour using that tool. And it was awesome. It was awesome. I think we should get back to stuff like that. What God can do for you in an hour. Bill Miller, my minister, he came home from that weekend and he found a cubby hole in our church building, and he cut out the sheetrock, put in a door, and he would sit inside that cubbyhole where he would pray. And he told his secretary, the name of my cubbyhole is Miami. So if anybody calls for me, you can tell them I'm in Miami, and I'll get back to him when I get back. No interruptions. I thought that was a good idea. While you're also getting quiet, have your Bible or your phone, your iPad, something which you can record your thoughts, your questions, your topics, and your insights, like a pen or a paper, cell phone, tablet. Some people find that quiet instrumental music helps them get quiet on the inside, helps them to focus. Also, to have a to-do list page, a to-do list. So you got your prayer page, if you will, that you're writing down your questions for God or your topics you're praying for. But you also have a second page called a to-do page. Because, you know, when you get quiet, you go, oh, I got to remember to do that. I don't want to forget to do that. Well, if you can spend brain power during your 15 minutes trying to remember something you don't want to forget, well, you just lost the whole focus. So write down on your to-do list what you need to do. Now you can let go of that out of your brain and get back to focusing in prayer. And then you can have a worry list. And on your worry list, you know, oh, I'm so worried about it. I'm write that down. You can get that off of your brain. And maybe that'll become part of your prayer time. But learn how to take things away that Satan can use to distract us. So choose a quiet place where you can listen to God's voice without interruption. Number two, prepare your heart and mind to hear God's will. God's will. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow my voice, Jesus said. So preparing your mind and your heart, what does that look like? Well, first of all, it means to confess your sin that you haven't acknowledged to God. Why? Because unconfessed sin tends to shut our mouths. Have you ever started to pray and you said, oh, Lord, yesterday I just did this and I feel so rotten. Here I am asking you for whatever. I don't even feel worthy to be talking to you. You ever done that? I think we all have. God said, I'll take you where you are. Okay, I'll take you where you are. I'll keep you. I got you, Christian. I got you. I'm keeping you. But I want you to learn how to be clean on the inside, not just the outside. There's another reason to confess your sin is God does not hear the prayer of those who hold sin in their hearts. Psalm 68, 18. God does not hear the prayers of those who hold sin in their hearts. How do you know if you're holding sin in your hearts? Number one, you know it. And number two, you like it. You resist confessing it, giving it up to the foot of the cross. And you hang on to it because it delivers something to you. Okay? We all have that struggle. Addictions, anybody got an addiction here? I do, you know, it's food. I like my food. Yeah, I'm learning to eat less, so there's less of me. There's nothing that takes joy out of life like unconfessed sin. But Jesus has a remedy for this. 1 John 1:9. Okay, everybody put your hand out like this. Okay, now put in it a bar of soap. Okay, you just put there a Christian's bar of soap, 1 John 1:9. That's your Christian bar of soap. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of all our sin and purify us from all sin. Wash up with the Christian's bar of soap, 1 John 1:9. Get clean. Okay? Do you believe him when he says, I will forgive you of everything? Do you believe that? And then you can sit in your quietness and in confidence. Bob talked about hope being a confident expectation. Well, if I read 1 John 1:9 and I obey it and I confess my sin to him, I can sit quiet in confidence that he has cleansed me. There's no block between us. Isn't that awesome? This is good stuff. I hope you are really taking this to heart. Preparing your heart and mind to hear God's will is to give praises to God. Sing to Him. Pull out your phone or whatever music you have. Type in a song and sing with it. Or sing off of your own heart. Give Him praise. He has cleansed you. Now praise Him. Amen? God is good. He wants you to be clean. Read praises in the book of Psalms, for example, or sing a song of praise. Write your praises to Him. Giving Him praise prepares your heart to humble itself before God. God, You are good. You are the only one. There's none other like You. I submit myself to You. It's a humbling experience. I've listed some scriptures for you to use to praise Him with. Thirdly, ask God to give you His wisdom to understand His word to you. James chapter 1, I love this passage. It's a powerful passage. James chapter 1 has a word for you today that you don't want to miss. Listen to this. James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. I'm going to start in verse 2 and pick up some history here, some background. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Everybody smile. Going through a trial. This is fun. Okay, joy, right? Joy is not an emotion. Joy is a choice. To say, even though I'm in a hard spot right now, it doesn't change the fact that God is my Father, Jesus is my Savior, heaven is my home. I still have hope in my life. And that brings me joy. I'm still anchored. I'm still anchored in truth. Joy. Okay? I'm choosing to believe what was true before this hardship is true during the hardship. Amen? Yes. And will be true after the hardship. Verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Long haulers, I don't have to escape the hardship. I can withstand it. I can stand here in truth and endure this because God is over all. God said of Jesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, that God has placed all things under Christ's feet. That means Jesus has authority over everything for the church. Important words, for the church, for you. Christ has authority over all things for you to be successful in hearing and following Him. Wow. Hardship? You have no authority here. My Jesus does. I know the truth. I don't have to run away from this and try to escape it. Oftentimes when we escape hardships, where do we go? Our addictions. Be honest, we go to our addictions, right? Things that we find instant comfort in. And we need to be able to stand firm and say, no, God is my source, not my addictions. Perseverance, verse 4, must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Maturity. Here's a question I'm asking myself more often. When something happens, whether it's a temptation or a relationship issue, whatever it be, I ask myself this question. Lord, what does maturity in Christ look like here? How does maturity respond to this? And it slows me down. It helps me to think through before I act or react to something. Slowing down is important when you're choosing how to respond to an issue. Verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously. How does he give? Generously, which means more than enough. Okay? If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault. Important place here, you guys. Listen to this. Without finding fault. So, let's paint a scenario. Yesterday, you just did something you knew you shouldn't do. It was against God, but you were in a pickle and you responded, let's say, with some sort of an addictive response. Now you're here praying, and you're thinking, God, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't even be asking you for this. Look what I did yesterday. Look what I did. Don't we do that? God says, I saw it. But I'm giving to you your request for wisdom generously without finding fault. God does not say, I hear your request, Delbert, but look what you did yesterday. He doesn't do that. He doesn't find fault. Why? Because I'm wise enough to use the Christian's bar of soap. Confess my sin. And now that guilt place in me is gone because I believe, he says, my sin is forgiven. And same for you. Use that Christian's bar of soap. God is going to give you wisdom without finding fault. We tend to put words in God's mouth. Yeah, I think God's going, oh yeah, you want this now. Look at what you did yesterday. He doesn't do that. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave tossed by the sea, blown back and forth by the wind. So ask God for wisdom. If you have a question for God, write it down. And then do this. Ask him once. Why? Because he heard you. He heard you the first time. I used to pray like this. I would get in my quiet spot. Worried about something. Oh, Lord, please help me with this. I just don't know what to do because, God, it's bigger than me, and I'm confused. And I'm kind of scared about what if I respond this way? What if that happens, God? And, Lord, I just, please help me with this. God, I really do need your help with this because I'm just confused. I can just see God going, shut up! I heard you the first time! Don't we do that, though? The more intense the issue, the more we tend to just talk over the top of God. He heard you. Then be quiet. Secondly, trust that God has given you his thoughts. Write them down. All right? Here's the real test, brothers and sisters. You're in your quiet spot. You've confessed your sin. You've gotten quiet on the outside and on the inside, and you've asked God a question. And then you are quiet, listening, because we're here to listen, not talk with God. And you're listening to him, and you start writing down the thoughts that are coming to your mind. Okay? Remember, James said, to ask without doubting. God is answering. And start writing those thoughts. You might write something and go, whoa, that couldn't be God. But you wrote it down. And you write down these thoughts that come to you. And I don't know about you, but sometimes those thoughts come quickly to me. And sometimes it takes a while. But write them down. Keep record of what God is saying to you. Over time, big key here, over time, as you come to God on a regular basis and ask the question and write down, you're going to start seeing a conciseness come to the answer. Okay? But we have to be patient with God. I appreciate Sean Calvert here. He showed us one time, he had like 8 journals. How many you got now? A few more than that. Of listening to God, writing down thoughts, questions, topics. And that's a good practice because over time, remember this, over time, conciseness will come to the answer. And let me talk a little bit more about that. Seek scriptures regarding your question. The internet is great for this. What do I do with this anger I've got? Bible scriptures on anger. Wow, you're going to have pages and pages of scriptures about that. And pick one or two and let God speak to you through his scriptures about your anger. Fourthly, thank him for his love. Keep your journal close by, not just in your quiet place, because God is going to keep talking to you, sometimes driving down the road. And I don't know about you, but for me, I think I can capture it and keep it till I'm done driving. Nah. Pull over, write it down. Okay? Stick it in your phone. Keep notes. So thank him for his love, and then spend some weeks or months in seeking his word and his will about your question. Why spend this kind of time? It helps you in two ways. Number one, it keeps you from acting too quickly before God has given you more insight. Too often, brothers and sisters, we look for the first answer and say, that's it, okay, I'm going to go do that thing. And it's like, wait a minute, I've got two more things I want to tell you about this. And you're off and running already. No, slow down, stay here. Let's get some time to get the fuller answer of what God was giving you. So it keeps you from acting too quickly before God has given you more insight. Secondly, it develops in you the character of waiting upon God. How many of you are really good at waiting? Right? Yeah, I don't see a single hand here. Waiting is hard. Again, we live in a world of nanoseconds. I said when I got my first computer, I will never, because I heard other people complain how slow their computers are. Well, I never even had one. So I got my first computer and I said, I will never complain about my computer being too slow. Liar. Some of the things, I think we have to confess our sin before God sometimes, the things we say to our computers. God's wisdom often comes in small doses because we can't unpackage big doses. We need little pieces at a time. Okay? Then seek the wisdom of Christians whom you trust their ability to hear God well. Get the input of other wisdom. Notice that God is seeking the wisdom. Notice that seeking the wisdom of others comes after seeking God's wisdom. Don't go to other people first. Go to God first. His word first. Okay, I've written some scriptures here for you. It talks about seeking the wisdom of other people. And then finally, look at your circumstances. Doors that open and close. Now, hear me here. Put the least weight on what God is telling you on your circumstances. Okay? Put the least weight on them. Because it's easy to interpret your circumstances to mean what you already want them to mean. Amen? I know what I want out of this, God. I know the answer I want from you. And I'm going to look for a circumstance that says it. And by golly, almost every time I will find it. And I'll go off going, see, God said. No, he didn't. You already wanted that. And you went and found it. Put the least weight of hearing God's voice on your circumstances. Okay? And put the most weight on his word. So, finally, make a decision. Make a decision based on the input from God, the counsel of others, and your circumstances around you. This is the good part. You've taken the time to seek God's counsel. You've been in this now several weeks, maybe several months. And you have said, God, here's my decision. Based on what you have shared with me, based on my recordings in my journal, I have a concise enough answer now to say, I can make this decision. Make your decision and follow the wisdom God has given you. Trust your decision. This is the hard part too. Trust your decision. But what if we start to say, let's scratch that phrase from our vocabulary. But what if? Remember James, he who asks for God's wisdom and then doubts is like a person being tossed on the sea. Here's a wave. Maybe I should do this. No. Maybe I should do this. No. I should do this over here. No. I don't know what to do. Thank you. But isn't that what if takes us there, doesn't it? It's like being tossed on the sea. No, you've taken the time to hear your God. And he's taken the time to tell you accurately his response. And then trust your decision. You've spent the time seeking him. You've made yourself slow down. Trust that decision. The problem of not trusting your decision, we just talked about in James chapter 1, verse 6. Brothers and sisters, I want you to use this outline from today forward to be your guide on learning how to hear God accurately, because you can. I believe in you. I trust in you. I know that you can hear God accurately if you'll take the time to slow yourself down. When I was my first year of counseling training, I don't know how many times my counselor said that to me. Slow down, Delbert. Slow down. Slow down. I don't even know those words. Slow down. Hear God well. And trust your decision. How you're going to respond to something. Because God has spoken to you. You have taken the practice. You have taken the discipline of listening well. And trust that decision. So let's respond to God. This is on your sermon outline as well. Respond to God. Write one thing you want to seek God's will about. It's a question. Maybe it's a hurt you want to take to him. And then get quiet with him. Seek his word. Seek the counsel of wise people. Spend some practice time. 2 to 4 weeks. I know that sounds like forever, doesn't it? 2 to 4 weeks, are you kidding me? 2 to 4 minutes. You know, we just practice being quiet for 1 minute, and that can be hard in itself. But spend 15 minutes being quiet before the Lord. Practice 2 to 4 weeks. And you will discover that you can, and over time will, learn to trust his word to you. And learn that have heard him well. And then praise him for his wisdom. Isn't God so good to us? His word, those ancient words we've heard from him, these words that are 4,000 years old, starting with the Old Testament to today, can change you if you'll follow him. Do you hear his voice? Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They follow me because they know my voice. There's a lot of voices out there. Let's call these voices coaches, okay? Let's call them coaches. And anything you put into front of your eyes or into your ears or through your senses is a coach. A song you listen to is coaching you in the direction of that song. A magazine you read, an internet page you look up, the commercials on television, your neighbor's opinion, are all coaches trying to direct you in a direction. God's voice must be our first choice. He is my coach. Bud Scobes, my football coach in high school over in Elgin from 1973 to 1976. I saw him the other day at Safeway in Milton Free Water. He was in front of me walking away, and I said, hey, coach. He turned around. He still knows his name. Hey, coach. He's still coach to me. He was such a great coach. God's word is the best coach. Listen to him. Take the time to go deep with him, and you will find the peace that passes understanding. We're going to close with a song we sang last week on the screen. It's a beautiful song. And I'm going to ask you to make a commitment while this song is playing that you would say, Jesus, I'm going to follow your path of how to listen to you. Okay, the tool I've given you is a tool. Okay, I think it's a good one, but use it. Use that tool to hear God deeply. Amen? God is good. He wants you. He wants you to go deep with him, because going deep with him not only provides power and peace for you, it gives others hope too, who you live around. They need to see that in you. Yeah? Amen? Let's stand together. Lights off, please.